Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to introduce a further chapter of Office Wife.
Perhaps this is the wrong thing to do, phoning Jeff at his flat at 9 o'clock at night. But I just couldn't resist the temptation. There's been a certain amount of tension at the office all day. As Harry Palmer said in a conspiratorial whisper, I've been going too fast, and people have been giving each other significant glances, meaning Bronson's after Pilgrim. Well, so I am, and I want Jeff to come after me, too. Anyway, in addition to all this, Marcia's pet crony, a person named Angela Tennant, has been making it difficult for Jeff by passing out hints all round and describing him as a prize heel. But what had us baffled was why. Well, after Jeff stormed out of the ambassador's this evening, I found out. And that's why I'm ringing him now. Marcy has answered the phone.
Wrong number? Are you sure?
Well, for heaven's sake.
That miserable wretch of a woman. The barefaced nerve.
Wrong number? Oh, well. It'll keep. I'll see Jeff in the morning and tell him then. And I won't mention the phone call.
Before we start work, Jeff, there's something I want to tell you. You know that Angela Tennant person?
Mm-hmm. What about her?
Well, I found out what's been troubling her last night after you left.
You did? Well, out with it then.
Remember the day we bought that ermine coat for Marcia and saw Mrs. Tennant there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she saw us. And she thought you were buying it for me. Can you imagine?
Blast, Angela. She should know me better than that. Did you tell her the coat was for Marcia?
No, but I'd leave that to you. Is she always so fantastically stupid? I mean, you'd think she'd have said something to either you or Marcia about it, instead of going round muttering to herself.
No, Angela's quite a decent soul, actually. And thinking what she did, I imagine she was trying not to hurt Marcia.
Hurt her?
Yes, by telling her what a rotter she had for a husband. Sort of chap who'd buy his secretary a 400-quid coat.
It is idiotic when you stop to think, isn't it? I mean, the very idea.
Yes. Oh, well, come on. We don't want to spend the entire day nattering about Angela Tennant's stupidity. Benny Puller's coming at 11, isn't he?
No. Don't you remember? He cancelled the appointment. Last thing yesterday afternoon.
Oh, of course. So he did.
I think he said he was playing golf this morning with Mr. Bendigo.
Golf, eh? Oh, I wouldn't mind 18 holes myself this morning. I can just feel that little ball going smack down the fairway.
What's that make it pull up? 3 up?
It'll be 4 up after this hole. Son, give me a number 2 iron.
I never get into my stride till I turn for home. So don't count your chickens.
On the green in 3. Watch.
This hole depends on my lie.
Just as I said, 4 up. Look, you're over there in the rough.
Mm-hmm. Bad, bad lie.
I wish you were as easy to get the better of in business as you are at golf, Bendigo.
Well, don't you worry. There's nothing wrong with my golf.
You correct your slice and that tendency to top your drives and you might be all right. What's Pilgrim's golf like?
He generally shoots in the low 70s.
He would. That secretary of his play golf?
How the devil should I know, Benny? Why do you ask?
I've taken a fancy to that girl. Offered her 3 quid a week more than you give her. But she turned it down flat.
Did she, eh? Turned down 3 quid a week more. That's not like a girl of her stamp.
That's what I thought. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yes, it does make you think. Look here. Do you really want that girl to work for you?
I just told you, didn't I?
Well, I'll tell you what. Keep offering her more and more. She's bound to accept sooner or later. I'll pay you the difference between what you've already offered her and what it costs you to get her away from Pilgrim for 1 year.
If you want her out of Jeff Pilgrim's way that badly, why don't you give her the boot? Huh? What's holding you up?
She can't be fired. She has to leave of her own accord.
I don't get it.
Then give it a little thought in your will. I've been over it with Pilgrim, and he won't have her fired.
You're taking orders from Jeff Pilgrim now, are you?
I'm seeing eye to eye with a very sound young Jeff, Benny.
Don't split hairs. If you want her out of the way, tell her she's not required.
You only wanted to get her on the cheap, eh? You listen to me, Benjamin Fulton. Jeff Pilgrim is the right idea. And that girl stays right where she is until Jeff fires her himself. Or she leaves under her own steam. Now, you're no fool. Can't you read between the lines?
Pilgrim's not going to have his wife pulling strings and running his office through her influence with you. Right?
Right. So any moves we make to shift Bronson out have to be strictly sub rosa.
What's that mean?
On the QT. Now, what do you think you should offer her?
Would 16 or 18 make her suspicious, eh?
I never saw a young woman of her sort turn up her nose at that much yet. Offer 18 quid a week and some sort of a title. She'll jump at it.
It's a deal, then. I'll have her out from under Jeff Pilgrim's nose before you can say Tressida Bendigo.
Good work, Buller. Good work. I knew I could count on you.
Hey, we playing golf, aren't we? On four up. Oh, there you are. Listen, Jeff. The minute you want to say shut up, say it.
Why should I, Miles?
Because I'm going to drop a couple of bricks, maybe. You know when you were leaving for that trip north?
Yes.
You arranged for the Bronson girl to stay here, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, now get a load of this. The minute you were out of the building that day, Miss Bronson was on the phone to Puller. And the scheme was for Puller to shunt her up to you the day after you left here.
What?
You get the gist of it?
Listen, Miles, how do you know all this?
Don't ask me, because I won't tell you.
So Stella didn't travel because Puller insisted, but because she managed to get around him somewhere or other, for reasons of her own.
That's the answer I got. What am I doing, Jeff? Poking my nose in?
No, not at all. I'm just wondering what the deuce to do about it.
Well, that's up to you. But for mine, there's only one cause open to you. Outski.
Just like that?
Just like that. That game is played enough, isn't it?
I suppose it is, really.
Where is she now?
No, I let her go early. It'll have to wait till the morning. I'll sleep on it tonight and do something then. Oh, thanks a lot, Hendricks. But blast you just the same.
If you're wondering what I'm dressed like this for, young woman, it's because I've been playing golf.
No. In plus fours and a sweater and a tweed cap. Oh, Mr. Puller, I can't believe it.
Getting a dose of sarcasm, am I? Well, I told you to get off early and come and see me, because I'm going to make you an offer. And if you've the sense of a cricket, you'll snap it up. It
sounds very exciting.
Yes, well, as far as I'm concerned, you're absolutely wasted taking dictation and phone calls and so forth for Jeff Pilgrim. I've got room for a good woman executive, and here it is. Come with me. I'll give you your own office, typist, an expense account, you know, entertainment and all that. You'll be on the top staff level. And I'll start you off at 18 quid a week. Well, what do you say?
I say, what would I be expected to do for this flood of privileges and gold?
Well, I haven't worked out all the details yet. But you'd earn your salary. Don't worry about that. I want someone who can look after overseas buyers. Someone who can take visiting bigwigs in hand, make them feel they're being made a fuss of. All that sort of thing. You'd do me credit. Come along, you shouldn't have to think twice. What's your answer?
My answer, Mr. Puller, is no.
Driving a bargain, eh? All right, I'll tell you what. I'll make it 20 a week, but no higher. Well, how many women your age are making $1,000 a year in this town, eh? What about it?
No.
I think you're a very foolish girl.
My answer is still no.
All right. You make me an offer. How much do you think you're worth?
Oh, something between 10 and 12 pounds a week. Just what I'm getting. I know that, and so do you. So who's playing games with who, Mr. Puller?
Miss Bronson, I take my hat off to you.
Thank you very much.
Now, I know you have some brains, for sure.
You still haven't told me exactly what sort of a fish I'm supposed to be baited with an offer like yours. What goes on, Mr. Puller?
I'd like to tell you, but of course I can't. Now, run along. Jeff Pilgrim's lucky to have a secretary as smart and as loyal.
Just tell me one thing, Mr. Puller. Did Mr. Pilgrim have anything to do with this?
Pilgrim knows nothing about it.
Well, at least Mr. Bendigo or Marcia. My money's on Marcia. But why doesn't she have me fired if this is a scheme of hers?
Maybe because Jeff wears the pants in that family, or so I'm told.
Yes, of course. This is really funny when you think about it. Don't you agree, Mr. Puller? I think it's a scream.
But not as funny as all that, Miss Bronson. Although, you're not the only one who could read between the lines. You turned down that offer for just one reason. And you'd have turned it down if it had been 10 times as big. You're after Jeff Pilgrim. And all I'm wondering is how long it's going to be before Marcia brings some of her heavy guns to bear on you. She should be able to blow you to bits.
We invite you to listen again to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.